Let's gather in prayer this morning. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your Son. The greatest gift anyone could ever give anybody, Lord, and that opportunity is for each and every one of us, Lord. That opportunity of salvation through the gift of your Son, Lord, is available to us and to all the people we come in contact with on a day-to-day basis, Lord, that you place into our lives. Father, I pray right now that you open the minds, you open the hearts, Lord, and you cast aside any of the worries, any of the stress that's on any of the people that are here, Lord, and any of the people that are unable to make it today, Father, that you just prepare them right now to receive this message, this word, this time of worship in your name. God, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Listen up, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. This is the opening, not the prayer, but the scripture. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him.
Let's remain standing. I do know that some of us are, and that's, you know what? That's okay with the Lord. It really is. But there's other ways we can do it. We can lift our hands to him. We can lift our head to him, and we can sing in our heart. We can sing in our head, just like you're talking to yourself, you know, in your head. So I encourage you to praise in that way. Don't feel that you can't praise just because your voice may not be working today.
That was kind of like, I know, I kind of like got sidetracked, so that was my fault. I apologize. So, have any of you sang that hymn, all of those verses before? Have you? Yeah. It was like, you know, when I have the hymns, it's very hard for me to shorten them, because each chorus is just like so special, it's so powerful. And it was like, okay, I was looking at this, and I go, but I like that, and oh, but I really like that, and oh, but I really like that, so I just couldn't shorten it. So we were just singing that whole hymn, and you did awesome, a cappella, you know. So can you imagine the Lord right there just smiling away? I just can't imagine. I'm going to switch from gum to a cough drop. So if you don't mind me for a second, I'm going to get rid of my gum and put in the cough drop, because I know how to sing that everybody else has. Of course, I'm not claiming it, but, you know, it's kind of like affecting me. So I did really good, huh, this weekend, and then all of a sudden, woke up. Okay, can you look, turn to Luke 10. I woke up this morning, and like last night, I was coughing more. Remember I told you I thought maybe, was it allergies, was it not? Monday, when I was in England, I could feel my throat was a little different, so I wasn't sure if it was allergies or not. You know, because my daughter has a dog, so it's like maybe, you know, a few days, you know, being over there in her house, you know. And I just, it wasn't, but I was really exhausted and tired, but I wasn't sleeping well in England, and so I thought, well, maybe it's that, and we were a pretty busy schedule. And still wasn't feeling too good, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, kind of like here and there, my throat would be kind of weird, and Thursday, and one night I'd sleep, and the next night I wouldn't, the next night, and then finally, last night was coughing away. So I was like, okay, I guess this is not a cold. So I'm claiming that blood of Jesus on me. Amen. Amen. And I'm not going to get worse. Thank you, God. In fact, I'm going to be healed. So Luke chapter 10, we are going to read together. I knew what the message was to be on this week. And remember how we have the word receive from the Lord. And I said that the Lord gave me acronyms for those. So the R for receive is rejoice. So you will see in this Luke 10, I knew that there is a verse that says rejoice in here, and I knew that this was what I needed to use, but I knew that it had to be all of Luke 10. Because all of Luke 10 is a huge reason of why we rejoice. So I'd like you to follow along with me. Luke chapter 10, I am reading from the New King James Version. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then, you know, remember when Jesus appointed the disciples? But I love it where in Matthew 10:1 and in Mark 6:7 it says that Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits. In Matthew 10:1 it also includes to cast them out and heal all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Now that's something to rejoice over. Then we go on, and it says, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, and it says, do you remember where John chapter 4, verse 35, do you remember when Jesus said that the harvest is white and it is ready? And he was saying how, he said that my will, in John chapter 4, verse 34, it says, he was telling the disciples, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, his Father's will. And also to finish that work. And so then he goes on to say, but do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? But behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. We have a harvest out there. Right now, their harvest is ready. So then he goes on to say, that we need to pray, remember, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. We're part of those laborers to go out there for this harvest. Then verse 3, go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Wow. We're to go out as lambs among wolves. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, it says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we are to be wise, but yet harmless, gentle, kind, but using all the wisdom that we have for each one of us through the precious Word of God, through our Lord. Then he goes on to tell them, carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. And if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give for the laborer, is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. And heal the sick there, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. In Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and cured diseases. He sent them, excuse me, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. It also says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, remember the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. He says once again, and heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. In Mark chapter 3, verse 15, Jesus appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have the power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. It says in Matthew 10, 7 and 8, it says, go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. I truly believe that as God has called us to be a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center, as we continue to seek him, we will have this gift. And wherever we go out in this white harvest out here, we will be presenting to them the gift of healing. This is one of the gifts. And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to seek the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of those is the gifts of healing. It doesn't say just one gift. It says the gifts of healing. And we are going to be going out there as we continue to seek the Lord. He is going to answer those requests because he has called this to be a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. And I truly believe that soon we will see that we are going to be having that gift. I remember hearing a testimony of a woman in India. She was like a custodian, a janitor. But she had the gifts of healing and people would call on her. And she even raised a child from the dead more than once. And so I believe that we are going to see these gifts of healings manifested as we have a heart to connect to the souls. Do you remember that? In the irresistible church, we need to connect everything to a soul. And that means those Christians that are being attacked. See, one day I believe that Pathway of Hope will not even have these darn coughing things and these colds. I truly believe that. I truly believe that we are going to be like Angela's Temple is and was in Southern California. We are going to be Angela's Temple here in Arizona. And we are going to be that building one day where people are going to be driving by and they're going to say, are the doors open? Because if the ambulance has gone by, let me in there. And the ambulance will have to take off without them. I have prayed that for years since we planted this church and being a part of this team. And I believe that when God said that this is going to be the house of prayer, healings, and salvation center, that's what's going to happen. See, that's what also drew many people. And that's what drew the Jewish people to start seeing. They saw the signs and wonders and they were like drawn to, who is this? What is happening? It's because the Messiah has granted that, just like he did the disciples. And we are to be disciples, aren't we not? In the irresistible church, remember how he says, we are so irresistible to heaven, we are going to be receiving. And I truly believe, I remember seeing and reading in my devotion time about Jacob again. And remember the ladder? I truly believe that we are going to be start receiving, that Jesus is going to be bringing his angels with the gifts through the Holy Spirit to each and every one of us. And we are going to be having that and seeing that here because the harvest is great and God knows that. Heaven is opening up big time. And I truly believe that. I just kept seeing that when I was in my devotions. It was powerful. And I really believe it. I'm not going to give up believing it. But I am not going to give up seeking him. And I believe that at times he's going to call us to fast, each and every one of us individually. We need to be obedient to that. Some of you know the convictions that God has given me on not eating dessert. It's been over 4 years and I haven't. But that was a personal conviction between God and I. I'd love him to lift that conviction. And if he does, I will enjoy that. But what I'm saying is he's had me do some things here and there just in obedience to him, and sometimes not without an answer. One time it was, I had to fast chocolate, and then I had to fast that for 40 days. So I did, and I had a coffee drink, and it had chocolate in it, and it was a mocha, and it wasn't dawning on me, right? And so then the next morning, I'm getting ready, and the Lord spoke to me, Karen, I told you not to have any chocolate. I go, I didn't, Lord, I didn't, because I was thinking my Snickers, my chocolate brownies, my chocolate cookies, you know, and I wasn't in that church. I had a mocha drink, a coffee drink, and I wasn't thinking. He goes, Karen, mocha has chocolate in it. I go, oh, wow, yeah, oops, sorry, Lord. Okay, so then I stopped having it, my mocha coffee drinks that I loved. Well, then it was the next day I was going to be able to start having chocolate again. Pastor Johnny had asked the church to pray and asked the Lord to guide and direct them on what to fast. He asked them to pray for 40 days and to fast something, whatever God. They were in their family were going to be doing the Daniel fast. But he said, seek the Lord on what is the Lord asking you to fast on. The Lord told me, no added sugar to anything. No sugar. And I was like, have you ever had chocolate without sugar? Nasty. Okay, so that meant 79 days. I was going, seriously, Lord? Because, like, tomorrow I get to have chocolate. And he didn't lift that. So it was 79 days without. And I was being obedient to him. And that's what he's going to call us to. As we seek him, as we earnestly seek him and pray together. Yeah. Remember, I've asked us all to be Pathway of Hope 7x7. As we earnestly seek together, because we are all part of the Lord. Corporately, we are a family. Individually, we need to seek him in our own lives. But also, we are the body of Christ, and we are to help other Christians and other churches and other Christian ministries out there as we are shedding his light, helping bring in the harvest. It's not just about us. We are going to be blessing others and helping not only the lost to be saved, but those that are saved, encouraging them and helping them to receive what God has for them. But whatever city you enter, continuing on in verse 10, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. And verse 16, Luke 10, it says, he who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. See, we are to go out and share the good news. We are to go out and be that bright light. It's up to them to receive the good news we are sharing. God's love, not up to us. And some will not understand it and won't hear it because they don't have the Holy Spirit at that point in time revealing that, taking off the blinders, helping their hearts to be softened, taking out the stuffing out of their ears so they can truly hear. See, we need to just continue to pray for them, but we don't stop. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, but that the spirits are subject to you. That the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, do you remember, Evelyn's, what she saw that day when we did the three blood covenants? Do you remember that, Evelyn? Do you remember you said that you heard the squeaking and we were trampling and we were trampling the serpent? You heard the snakey snap sound. Yeah, you heard the squeal. And we did that with the blood covenant. We are under the new blood covenant, and we have this power and authority. They, in Mark 16:18, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. In other words, when we are doing God's will, perfect will, with his power and authority, for his glory, not ours, for him, not our gain, if we are doing that, then watch what he will do. We are in his perfect will. Do you remember when John chapter 19, do you remember that when Jesus is talked to by Pontius Pilate, and he says, listen, he goes in verse 11 in John chapter 19, he says, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. See, we are God's ambassadors. We are on his assignment. When we become his child, we are joint heirs. And so we are his. And so there is nothing he can do that God will not allow unless it will be again, for his glory and for his purpose. So as we grow stronger in the Lord and go out there into this harvest, in this mission field that is out there, as we continue to use the authority that he's given us because we have received it and we are wanting to release it to others in proper alignment with his perfect will, nothing can harm us unless it is his will. Nothing. Nothing can touch us. See, this is what we have to rejoice in. Because, not because of what we'll be able to do with that power and authority we've been given through the blood, by his name, by the power of the resurrection, through the Holy Spirit. Because everything, Colossians 1:19 says, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus Christ. And making peace and reconciling all things by making peace through his blood that was shed on the cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So it is by that power that we're able to move and go about with the authority of that blood upon us, with all the promises, over 3,000, some say over 5,000, some say over 7,000. One guy named Herbert Lockyer wrote a book on the Bible promises and claims that there's 8,000. Okay, there's a lot of promises in this Bible. And they're ours. They're ours. I'm not going to sit there and, you know, go through. One guy said there was 1,000, almost like 700, and then there was 3,500 commandments, which was connected with promises. So whatever way you want to break it up, this is ours. This is ours. And we can walk with the authority out there. This is ours, and this is where we can rejoice, because that name that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, our name, who have repented of our sins and truly have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that has released us to give and to receive everything. The fullness of the Heavenly Father has been given to Jesus, has been given to the Holy Spirit, has been given to us, as John 16 talks about in 13 through 15. That is ours. Is that cool or what? I mean, John chapter 14, verse 26 talks about how the Holy Spirit will teach us all things and remind us of everything Jesus has told us. This is the living, breathing word. And then it says that he, the Holy Spirit, in John 16, 13 through 15, says he will guide us into all the truth and he will tell us of things to come. Watch out, people. We're going to start getting revelations. As we seek him, as we truly seek him, we are going to be getting revelations. We are going to be guided by the Holy Spirit. I want you to go here. I want you to pray for that person. I want you to stop what you're doing right now. I want you to call this person. I want you to pray for them, etc. He will be guiding us and directing us because he will be using us at this last time of harvest and also to bless his believers, his followers that are needing some encouragement. Because remember, it is good not to forsake the fellowship of other Christians. Yes, as Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 talks about. But we need to remember we are the body of Christ. And so whether they come to our church or not, we need to also be obedient to the Holy Spirit. If he's asking us to pray for somebody else, we are all the body of Christ and we need to pray for them and we need to encourage them. And then let us go on. And it says in verse 21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Do you know that part of that yoke is this? See, by the blood, this released power. See, Micah chapter 6 verse 9 says, the voice of the Lord calls to the city, and it is sound wisdom to hear and fear, to have deep respect, love, and awe of your name. Hear, heed by paying close attention to the rod, his word, the Bible, and to him who has appointed it. The word, the rod, it may be amplified because it's a lot bigger. Maybe New King James Version. Whichever rod you're looking at, amplified, NLT, amplified, NAS, amplified, King James Version, amplified, NAS. Whichever one, we need to remember what the Hebrew word means. It's matah. And it says, it comes from the word meaning branch. Ooh. I remember in John 15, it says, I am the vine. You are the branches. We have the branch with the word. A rod for chastening, correction, for ruling, because we have that authority in him. The authority that is given to us by the blood that was shed for us in his name. That power of the resurrection, the authority that is in this word. So for ruling, the scepter, which represented supreme royal authority and power. Now it also is an object for throwing, a lance. A lance is a sharp thrusting weapon. Do you remember the Bible also refers to the word of God as sharper than any two-edged sword? Hebrews 4:12a, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. Energizing. I don't know about you, but I sure could use some of that. And then another meaning is it is for walking. It is a staff. It is a support of life, like bread. I remember another verse. I am the bread of life. He is our source and our power. And this is what we're walking around with. Is that cool? I mean, our God loves us. And I love it that he says he wants us to have that childlike faith, to believe. Because God said it, that settles it. It's up to us to believe it. God said, We are going to be a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. And it is up to us to believe it. Because doubt hinders that fulfillment of the promise, and we do not want it to be delayed. Verse 22, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then it goes on to say in verse 23, then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Do you remember Jeremiah 29:11-13? Many of us know that, right? For I know the thoughts I have, and I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. We were talking about that, singing about that. All your heart, we surrender it to you, Lord. Jeremiah 33:3, do you remember that one? Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Mysteries will be revealed to us. We will start seeing more revelation as we're in the Word. It is so exciting to see what the Holy Spirit's going to be doing. Because as 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what has entered into the heart of man, but those that love God. See, we need to remember that our God will reveal things. For God will prepare our hearts to receive that. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Do we love him? Do we really love him? Are we ready to have what he has for us? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, it says, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. This is the Apostle Paul talking. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the wisdom, the power of God. This will happen as we are in his word. Do you remember James 4:8? It says, draw unto me, and I will draw unto you. As we are seeking him, he will come to us, and he will start revealing more and more as we are in his word, as we are taking that time seeking him in prayer, truly seeking him for his perfect will, not ours, for his desire to come upon us of what he wants us to do, where he wants us to go, what he wants to reveal to us in his word. It's always speaking to us. It's always alive. It's speaking to our spirit. But there are times when he wants to bring revelation. It is deep and it is beautiful. And so we are going to start seeing more and more revelation as we are in his word. In verse 10 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, but God has revealed them to us, these mysteries, these revelations to us through his spirit. For the spirit searches of all things, yes, the deep things of God. Once again, it goes on in verse 12, the last part. It says, now we have received not of the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. But it's our choice to receive them or not. Are we ready? Are we loving him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our spirit? Are we? Because that's how we'll receive. Because at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which all of it is really good, but to save time, I'm not going to read it all. But it says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have his eyes through the Holy Spirit, his heart through the Holy Spirit. Psalm 119, verse 160 through 162, it says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Princes persecute me without a cause." So we're going to be persecuted. Whether they're princes or not, just people, we're going to be persecuted. "But my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." That is why I have the Bible on top of the treasure box, because this is our treasure, and it is our rock. It is firm. He is firm. Psalm 119, verses 41 through 45. "Let your mercies come also to me, Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts." Yeah. In verse 98, it says in Psalm 119, "You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." Psalm 1, verse 100, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." Verses 104 through 105, "Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Remember Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." This is a love when we love to hear his word. Do you remember James 1:22? It says, "Do not just be hearers of the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says." You don't want to just listen to it and deceive yourselves. You want to do what it says, because this is the light and the life for us, and it will be the light and the life for others. This will have all the ways of how to live successfully and prosperous for his glory, for his purposes. And this is what we need to be in, seeking it as we pray. Then we're going to go on. And then it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' Well, Jesus says to him, and he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.'" Remember, love God, love others. This is what God's greatest commandments. Do you remember those greatest commandments? It's in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. And he goes on to say, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of age." See, his word is breathed by him, as 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "Every scripture is God-breathed. It is given by inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline, in obedience and for training in righteousness and holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then Hebrews 4:12 and 13, "For the word of God is living and powerful. The word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and exposed and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Do you remember Jesus said in Matthew 22, 36 through 40, where is the two greatest commandments also? But he says, on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. See, he knew that there were consequences if we didn't obey, and he knew that God searches the heart and he knows the intents and he's constantly looking. But he knew the power and the authority that we have if we are willing to use it in ways that are well-pleasing to him. The guidance and direction that is totally and completely here. See, Jesus, when he was nailed to the cross, he shed his blood for each and every one of us. We are supposed to be mighty warriors. Do you remember when we were talking about the bridal inheritance? And so by his blood, we are washed whiter than snow. We have beautiful wedding gowns on. And that is what he sees. But we are mighty warriors for him too. Mighty warriors need good footing. Roman soldiers had great shoes, and these shoes had nails in them. The nails that we have in our shoes for the gospel of the preparation of peace were the nails that nailed Jesus to the cross. These nails that nailed him to the cross is what gives us the firm footing. The Roman soldiers were able to run faster and faster and faster with those nails through their shoes. We will be able to run and not grow weary, walk and not faint, by the nails that were pierced on the cross for us, for Jesus that shed his blood for us. And they were able to do maneuvers with those nails in the battlefield. We will be able to do the same because of those nails that are on our shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace. In this world where there is trial and tribulation, Jesus says, be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. And because of that, he gives us a peace that surpasses all understanding to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, as Philippians 4 talks about. That comes from him, and this world is going to need that peace. So we need to be in this peace so that we have the firm footing, so that we can run faster and we can take our stands when needed and stand strong in his word when the enemy is attacking us and loved ones, because we connect everything to a soul just as he did. That's why he died. Rejoice. Rejoice in the dictionary means to feel joyful, to be delighted, rejoicing, to fill with joy, gladden, to have or possess. Luke chapter 10, verse 20, it says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In the Greek for that, rejoice, it says to be cheerful, to calmly be happy or well off, to be glad, to have Godspeed, joyfully to rejoice. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, do you remember that? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Psalm 28:7 was our opening scripture. And Ray kindly read that to us, and it said, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The joy in this Hebrew means the passion or emotion excited by acquisition or expectation of good, the excitement of pleasurable feelings, which is caused by success, good fortune, the gratification of desire or some good possessed, or by a rational prospect of possessing that which we love or desire, gladness, exhilaration of spirits. We have a home. Locke, a man named Locke, said, joy is a delight of the mind from the consideration of the present or assured approaching possession of a good. And D. Humphrey wrote, peace, bring heavenly balm to heal my country's wounds, joy to my soul and transport to my lay. And then another definition, a glorious and triumphant state, the cause of joy or happiness. See, It also goes on to say that we can give joy. That's verb transitive. I love it in the King James Dictionary. It says that to experience joy and gladness in a high degree, to be exhilarated with lively and pleasurable sensations, to exult. And I'd say that I love to rejoice. I liked that definition. I said, that's me. But remember Psalm 119, verse 62, and it said, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Psalm 28:7, it says, rejoices. Nehemiah 8:10, joy. See, this is all our strength. As we rejoice, it strengthens us with the joy that he has given us. For everything that he has, that fullness is ours. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing songs to him. Talk of his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face, his presence evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. This is also in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 1 through 22. And David's song is the same as 1 Chronicles 16, 8 through 22, as seen in Psalm 105, 1 through 15. See, we are seeking him. We are searching him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our spirit. And these words that were in Psalm 119, verse 162, rejoice, it says to be bright, to be cheerful, to be glad, greatly, joy, rejoice. In Psalm 105, verse 3, in the 1 Chronicles 16:10, which I talked about, says to brighten up, to be make glad, to have or make joyful, to cause to or to make to rejoice. See, as we are rejoicing in the fullness of God and we are out there, we are going to be those bright lights shining of his glory for him, for his truth. We'll be able to tell them and we will actually see God's hand working through and miracles happening. It won't just be old things or somebody else. It'll be actually happening in our life. We will see the miracles as we are searching his word and living his word, not just reading it, but doing it. Psalm 28, verse 7 says, and that one is the Hebrew word, says to jump for joy, to exult, to be joyful, rejoice, triumphant. We are more than conquerors. We are victors. And so many Christians have been wimpy. We have been blowing it. To remember at the end of this, and it says, you know, at the end of this verse, it goes on. He gives the stories about compassion and pouring on oil and wine on the man that is laying there in the world. That is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be reaching out with his compassion to others because we have that oil of him. The healing balm of Gilead is ours through the great divine physician, the great divine healer. And we are going to do that. And that new wine is Jesus because we are under the new covenant. And see, Mary, she's sitting at Jesus' feet. Do you remember Mary and Martha? And Martha's doing things, and we need to do things, yes. But we need to not forget that time at Jesus' feet. And Jesus tells Martha, you're concerned about a lot of things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. To remember in Psalm, do not take this word utterly out of my mouth. And he won't because he said, I will remind you of everything I've told you, but we need to take the time to be in his word. And I'm telling you, at the end times, it is going to be, as the days go on, it's going to get busier and busier, and he's going to try to rob you from taking this time in his word and claiming it for our lives. Because I'm tired of us being wimpy, and I've been that wimpy Christian, and I'm not going to be a wimpy Christian anymore. I am not. And I don't want us to be wimpy. See, this blood was shed for us. And you know, our lives carry a lot of trash. A lot of stuff happens to us. And so we're carrying it. But when we're in the Word, see, We are of great value to the Lord. And when we put his precious word that is of great value to us into this stuff that we've done, that blown it, stuff that people have done, that we've taken on, and we put this in there, and he mixes it with the blood, the power of his name, the power of his word, and he's saying, listen to me, Romans 8:28. I will work everything out together for your good, because you love me, and you obey me. You're called according to my purpose. Watch what I will do, because you are great value to me, and you are treasuring my word. And this stuff in this bag is going to become beautiful. See, as we continue to be in his word, and this stuff in this bag, we put the Bible, we spend that time, and we will be hefty Christians. We will not be wimpy anymore. We will be hefty, hefty, hefty. Because he has taken that trash. Because one man's trash is God's treasure when he applies his blood and his truth and his word to it. And we will be hefty and strong. And then we need to not forget that as we're in his word and all that trash and stuff that's in us, stuff that we've done, we've blown it, other people, and it enters into our bag of stuff, that we spend that time in the word, and because Jesus is our Lord and Savior and that blood's over that, we will be able to walk around and be glad. We will be able to constantly be rejoicing. Rejoicing for what he has done for us. See, constantly we need to remember that what he's given us is for each of us. See, you men, remember, can be women too. But this is a crown, so even though it says birthday queen. But to remember, all things are made new, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. So every day we have what God had died for us, as Romans 8:16-18 and Galatians 3:26-29 talks about. We are the sons of God through faith in Christ. When we are Christ, then we are also Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. All that God promised Abraham, old covenant, is ours, new covenant, by the blood of Jesus. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, because of 2 Corinthians 5:17, behold, old things are passed away. Now we have new. I like Amplified. So, I'm walking around each and every day with this power, and I'm not going to be a wimpy Christian anymore. I told you that I felt something happen spiritually inside me, and I rose up. And I said, on that day when I first stepped into the God's new appointment as a senior pastor, and I said, something rose up in me, and I said, don't you mess with me. And don't you mess with my flock. Because I go before the throne of God for you. And I know that as I keep going before the throne of God for you in earnestly prayer and being in his word, that I know that he's going to start honoring it. We're going to start seeing those miracles. Those powers and those revelations are going to get coming. But we have to be willing to continue to receive what he's given us. As we rejoice in all the fullness that we have through him. And we will be glad. Glad. Constantly glad. Psalm 45 verse 7 says, you love righteousness, uprightness and right standing with God, and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. The NIV says, Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. The joy is our strength. NLT says, you love justice and hate evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. See what we have in him. Matthew 9:17 says, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, then the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. We are under the new blood covenant. To remember John 3:21, it says, that's our verse for this year. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God, that they have been divinely prompted, done with God's help, in dependence upon him. So I am going to have the Lord's Supper. Pastor Janet, would you like to? Yeah. And then, yeah, thank you. And then Carl's going to play some music. What we're going to do is a little different. See? Psalm 104, verse 15 says, and wine that makes glad the heart of man. We are glad. We are glad Christians because of what the blood has done for us. Oil to make his face shine, because as we are going to shine brightly for the Lord, we are rejoicing as we receive everything in his fullness. We are going to shine radiantly like stars in the universe. We are going to shine brightly for him and for his glory. And bread which strengthens man's heart. Psalm 104, verse 15. I am claiming that over the Lord's Supper today. Heavenly Father, I come before you. And I just claim Psalm 104, 15 for each and every one of us. That wine that makes glad the heart of man, each and every one of us. Your oil, Lord God, to make us shine. You will make each one of us shine for you. And your bread, which strengthens each one's heart. Lord, we are claiming that as we take your supper, may our hearts be cleansed totally and completely, Lord. May we take this moment right now in silence to repent of anything that your Holy Spirit will reveal to us that we need to repent of. Lord, we come before you right now and repent in this time of silence. Yes, go away. Any unforgiveness, any bitterness, anything that is not of you, any anger that has not been handled in a way that is well-pleasing to you, any resentment, any jealousy, any envy, any strife, anything, anything, Lord, go in the name of Jesus. We repent of it right now. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to anoint you. I want you to come up. And if you could play the music softly. And then I would like you to come up and get the elements, the bread and the cup. But I want to anoint you when you're getting it, because this is the oil of gladness. Because you're going to shine with that oil and rejoice in the Lord. And we will then take, then go back to the seat and we'll take it together, okay? The bread and the wine. Thank you. That's right. Lord, I just thank you and praise you. Arnie is anointed in you, Lord God. Thank you that he will shine brightly for you. Lord, I thank you for Dick, Lord God. And I thank you that he will shine brightly for you, Lord God. Thank you that he is anointed with you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Barbara. Lord, I thank you that she will shine brightly for you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your love. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your anointing. I thank you that each one of us has been anointed. And I anoint myself, Lord God, with your oil of gladness, Lord God. I thank you that each of us have been anointed by you, Lord God. that we are going to breathe that bright, shining light, that our faces will shine for you, Lord God. I truly thank you and praise you. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Pastor John. So, Lord, I thank you that this wine, it represents a glad heart of man, and the bread that strengthens me. So, Lord, we take this body. We thank you and praise you that it is broken for each of us. Find your strength. So, Lord, as we take this, we take it in remembrance of what you've done for us that was broken for each other. Thank you. We praise you for that. We are rejoicing. Thank you. Thank you. Can I thank you, Lord, for this cup? That's a gift. Your sacrifice, your atoning sacrifice on the cross for each and every one of us. The power of the resurrection, the power of your name. Thank you for the power of your blood. Thank you that we are cleansed of all unrighteousness through your blood that was shed on the cross. And we do this together and remember. I love each and every one of you so much, and I rejoice in the fact that of what he's done for us, and I thank you and praise you for being here, and I thank you that you are honoring the Lord and praising and worshiping him. You know what? We need that praise and that recognition of what we're doing for him. It's not for our pride. It's a praise unto him. But you know what I mean? I thank you that you come together for us to be here. And so, before you go off, I want to pray. We didn't do a specific prayer altar ministry time. This is our prayer altar ministry time. But before I do the final benediction, I'm going to be praying for those that are not here, for those that are ill. Lord, I specifically lift up Tara's father, Lord God. I pray that you will just touch him. Oh God, he needs your healing hand, Lord God, right now. And I thank you that you are touching him and healing him. We have several here that are just not feeling the greatest, Lord God. So I just pray that you will touch and heal us, Lord God. We are claiming that healing power. Lord God, by your stripes, we are healed. We are made whole, Lord God. And we thank you and praise you for that. I thank you that Bianca is healing tremendously well, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you that you are with Chris, Lord God, as she is on her trip. Lord God, keep her safe. Lord God, I pray that you will be with each one who is not here that is ill. Lord, I just pray that you will touch them and heal them, Lord. They need your healing power, Lord God. Debbie needs your touch, Lord God. She's been battling this thing off and on with a cold and stuff, so she needs your touch. And Lord, I pray that I could use your touch, but others here. So Lord, I thank you, because I'm claiming it, man. I am so claiming it. I thank you, Lord. And Lord, right now I bow down, and I kneel before you, and I'm claiming Numbers 6, 24 through 26 for each one. May you, Lord God, bless each one of us here. Watch over, guard, and protect us and keep us. May you, Lord God, make your face to shine upon and enlighten us and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor to each and every one of us. And may you, Lord God, lift up your approving countenance upon each and every one of us and give us your peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We thank you and praise you for your peace that is not like the world gives. We thank you and praise you that we can rejoice in what you have given us, for we receive it, Lord, all your fullness. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.